for this occasion. We'll chant together the Brahma Samhita prayers for those of you that are not familiar. Sri Brahma Samhita is a description of Lord Brahma's realization, mature realization, of his self-identity as a spiritual being, and beyond that, his swarup, his spiritual form in his relationship with Krishna. It's part five of a several-part text that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found when he was traveling in South India at the Adi Keshava temple, way in the south part of India. And upon reading it, he appreciated so much that this text, Brahma Samhita, summarizes in a very succinct form the very same message as the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it's natural that it would do so because it's Brahma's mature realization. As Srimad Bhagavatam is the fruit of the whole Vedic literature, which was manifest by Lord Brahma. The entire Vedic literature was received by Lord Brahma within the heart. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye. Upon his 1,000-year tapa, the personality of Godhead appeared before him and imparted transcendental knowledge within his heart. So these are the prayers of Lord Brahma upon that mature realization. And we'll chant them together for invoking auspiciousness. I'll describe a little bit the meaning of some of the verses, so everyone can chant together.
Ishvara Parma Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam Advaitam Achutim Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adulabham Atma Bhakto Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami Vanta Sukhoti Shatavatsara Sampradamyo Vayo Ratapi Manasomudi Pungavanam Sokyasti Arpapira Sinya Vachincha Tatve Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami Ishvara Brahma Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Anir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam.
Oh, I want to have one sheet. In these very beautiful prayers, I want to point out the meaning of two of these prayers, because I said I would speak on something. So, Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Puranam Purusham Navayovanam Cha. These are names of Krishna that are given for his characteristics, the characteristics of Krishna. Is he's of a non-dual nature, Advaitam. He's Achuta. There's Chuta and there's Achuta. Achuta means infallible. The living entities, they fall within the material world and they become covered by the modes of nature and so many material desires. But Krishna is not Chuta, he's Achuta. He's infallible. Advaitam Achutim Anadim, there's no beginning to Krishna. Krishna is the beginning of all beginnings. before creation Krishna existed. What Srimad Bhagavatam describes is during the period of cosmic manifestation, nothing but Krishna exists. After the cosmic annihilation is withdrawn, Krishna alone remains. So Krishna is anadi, without any material beginning. Anantarupam, he has unlimited forms. Adyam, he's the original. He's Purana Purusham, he's the oldest person at the same time. Navayovana, his form is always fresh, like a youth, a teenage boy, 16-year-old boy. Although, when he was on the Kurukshetra battlefield with Arjuna, he appeared as if his form was that of a young youth, because his body doesn't get old, because his body is not material. When he appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, he showed his form of Lord Vishnu, but then just upon the request of Vasudeva and Devaki, he assumed a childlike form. So whether his form is Vishnu, a child, or with Arjuna on the Kurukshetra battlefield, his form is all spiritual, and therefore Navayovana, eternally youthful. And who can understand all these things? The verse describes Vedeshu Durlabham. By years and years and lifetimes of study of the Vedas, very difficult to understand Krishna, but Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktam. For one who is a devotee, Krishna discloses himself. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is precisely that. It's the literary incarnation of Krishna within the Padma Purana, one of the sattvic Puranas of Vyasadeva's composition. It specifically addresses the Bhagavat Purana, saying that the Bhagavat Purana is the literary manifestation of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. A very nice verse, where it's describing the form of Krishna from his feet to the top of his head, and each of the cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam is manifesting his literary form. Very nice verse. Please everybody. All the time. Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakta. Then, to amplify that same message, the next verse is describing Pankasu Koti Satavatsara Sampragam Yo Vayoratapi Manaso Muni Pungavana. The extent of Krishna, to realize Krishna, as he is described in the previous verse, it's beyond the reach of the most qualified Muni. If the most qualified Muni could build a vimana, an aerial spaceship that can travel as fast as the wind, vayor, atapi manaso muni pungavanam, he could travel as fast as the mind, at mind speed. That's faster than any modern conveyance. Even Sputniks and rocket ships and outer space travel. And if you can travel at mind speed, some conveyance that can travel that fast, for millions and millions and millions of years, still, that extent can never reach the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead to discover his identity. So, the way to understand Krishna, this Advaitam Achutam Anadim Anantarupam, the personality of Godhead Krishna, is not by an ascending process, it's by a descending process. That's the way of Vedic wisdom. Shabda Praman, the means of knowing by ascending process, is quite imperfect. Even the best of such persons would never understand the personality of Godhead. But when he shows himself, he reveals himself to his devotee. Once Prabhupada was describing deity worship in that way. If one worships the deity form of the Lord very sincerely, Krishna will one day say, "I am like this." Just like that. When Krishna discloses, then one knows. And if Krishna doesn't disclose, there's nothing that one can do to know. So scripture is that disclosure. Our English language is revealed scripture. God is revealing himself. And the direct manifestation of God revealing himself is very nicely presented in this Srimad Bhagavatam. When Srila Prabhupada first started temples, from the very beginning, at least from my experience, the very beginning, there were morning classes and evening classes. In the morning classes, every morning, we would study a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And every evening, we would study a verse from Bhagavad Gita. We'd have our arati or kirtan, chant japa, guru puja, and then we would hear Srimad Bhagavatam every morning. That was 5 days of the week or 6 days of the week, 7 days of the week, regardless of what was going on, because that hearing is so important. And in comparing Bhagavad Gita to Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada likened like this, that the Bhagavad Gita is the undergraduate study and the Bhagavatam is the graduate study. Just to make a frame of reference for his Western audience. Because in undergraduate study, it's the basics that one needs to know. And with the basics that one needs to know, that's sufficient. Practice the basics that one needs to know and you'll progress very nicely. But in the graduate study, the same basics are not different, they're the same basics. But then the understandings, the realizations are then further expanded. And they're expanded in very beautiful language. Uttama shloka. Uttama. Choice poetry, Prabhupada sometimes translated, uttama shloka. But that's also the person. The choice poetry, uttama shloka, is glorifying uttama shloka. He who is appreciated in very beautiful language, and therefore Srimad Bhagavatam. Beautiful Bhagavatam. So I thought, one of my god brothers, some of you know Vaisheshika Prabhu, very, very wonderful Vaishnava, inspirational person. We were discussing when people invite Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like into their home, it's inviting Krishna into your home. You invited the devotees into your home, but you invited Krishna into your home in his literary form. So we're going to perform arati, but before we do that, Vaisheshika Prabhu was describing from his experience, it's a very nice thing to do, that we take one volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you take Canto 10, Part 1? Since in 2 more days we'll be observing Krishna Janmashtami, I thought it might be nice if we read a little bit, just directly, Srimad Bhagavatam and its purports from the prayers of the demigods to Lord Krishna within the womb, because Krishna's going to appear very soon. He's in the womb of Devaki, and the demigods have a beautiful painting. Devahuti's reclining at a nice resting place, and with her pregnancy, her hand is on her pregnancy, and she sees the demigods in the air offering their beautiful prayers to Krishna. And she remarks to Vasudev, "I'm hearing these wonderful celestial voices. What do you think it might be?" "Some very auspicious." It was the voice said, "Your eighth child will be of the personality of Godhead. He's soon going to appear, and they're honoring him." So this is chapter 2. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead was within her womb, Devaki illuminated the entire atmosphere in the place where she was confined. Seeing her jubilant, pure and smiling, Kamsa thought, "Uh-oh. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is now within her, will kill me. Devaki has never before looked so brilliant and jubilant," Kamsa thought. "What is my duty now? The Supreme Lord, who knows his purpose, will not give up his prowess. Devaki is a woman, she is my sister, and moreover now she is pregnant. If I kill her, my reputation, opulence, and duration of life will certainly be vanquished. A person who is very cruel is regarded as dead even while living, for while he is living or after his death, everyone condemns him. And after the death of a person in the bodily conception of life, he is undoubtedly transferred to the hell known as Andhatamata." Deliberating in this way, Kamsa, although determined to continue in enmity towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, refrained from the vicious killing of his sister. He decided to wait until the Lord was born and then do what was needed. While sitting on his throne or in his sitting room, while lying on his bed, or indeed while situated anywhere, while eating, sleeping, or walking, Kamsa saw his only his enemy, the personality of Godhead, Rishikesh. In other words, by thinking of his all-pervading enemy, Kamsa became unfavorably Krishna conscious. While Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada, Deval, and Vyas, and other demigods like Indra, Chandra, and Varuna, invisibly approached the room of Devaki, where they all joined in offering their respectful obeisances and prayers to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can bestow blessings upon everyone. The demigods prayed, "O Lord, you never deviate from your vow," because he vowed, he told Lord Brahma he would appear. So he's appeared. "You never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in all three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation, and therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection.
The next chapter is Krishna's birth. Thereafter, at the auspicious time for the appearance of the Lord, the entire universe was surcharged with all the qualities of goodness, beauty, and peace. The constellation Rohini appeared, as did stars like Ashvini. The sun, the moon, and the other stars and planets were very peaceful. All directions appeared extremely pleasing, and the beautiful stars twinkled in cloudless sky. Decorated with towns, villages, mines, and pasturing grounds, the earth seemed all auspicious. The rivers flowed with clear water, and the lakes and vast reservoirs full of lilies and lotuses were extraordinarily beautiful. And it goes on, describing the scene of Krishna's appearance. Thus, when the birthless Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was about to appear, the saints and brahmanas, who had always been disturbed by demons like Kamsa and his men, felt peace within the core of their hearts, and kettle drums simultaneously vibrated from the upper planetary systems. Kettle drums make a very nice sound. Kettle drums. So the Srimad Bhagavatam the basis of Srimad Bhagavatam described within the text itself was the result of Vyasadeva's mature realization. He compiled all the Vedic literatures and then expressed to his spiritual master Narada that somehow he was not feeling satisfied. And Narada's response to that question put to him, why am I not feeling satisfied, was that within all of the Vedas you've given means for the human population to fulfill material desires through rituals and gradually elevate themselves to the upper planetary systems and the quality of goodness. And you provided to those inclined to speculative knowledge, you've given the means for them to understand the position of neutrality of Brahman beyond this material realm. But the goal of all the Vedas is to know Krishna. Just as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishta Sairvayar Aham Eva Vedyo Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. The purpose is to know Krishna. And you've not sufficiently glorified that Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you should, he gave him two instructions. You should fix your mind in complete concentration on nothing else but the Personality of Godhead. And that realization, what you experience in that state of complete concentration, should be the subject matter, exclusive subject matter of your final literature. So he followed that instruction. And he got this mature realization. And the mature realization he describes right within the pages of the Bhagavatam. And then the Bhagavatam is an expansion on that realization. It's a realization of Krishna in the vastness of the spiritual realm. And at a distance and behind Krishna is the material energy, which acts upon living entities who are deluded to cause them to forget who they are, who Krishna is, and their relationship with Krishna. Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. that the deluding effect upon the living entity was also realized by Vyas, and the medicine, or the means of overcoming that deluded state, was also appreciated by him. And that was these glorifications of the personality of Godhead and his actual position. So that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is. It's that disclosure by the Supreme Lord unto Vyas, and Vyasa's very beautiful exposition of that which he realized. Krishna's position, our position in the undiluted state, the unfortunate circumstance of the deluded state of the living being, and the means of achieving Krishna's shelter once again. So, our hosts have invited us to come celebrate Krishna's appearance in their home. Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. We have that good fortune of being in Kamsa's prison house. But we're in the material world nonetheless, and by invitation, Krishna has come. So, with such easy access. In Vedic times, the access wasn't so easy. One had to be very, very qualified and find a qualified brahmana and sit at the feet of that qualified brahmana in a purified state for a long period of time to hear the length and breadth of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. But in Kali Yuga, we're not so fortunate to have that qualification. And so Krishna makes himself very easily accessible. You go to your local temple and you go to the gift shop and say, I'd like one set of Srimad Bhagavatam, please. Or even just go krishna.com and click, 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 and click, and here's my home address, and click, and there it is at your front door. Krishna in his literary form. But just like when you receive any guest, a Vedic culture is you receive an unexpected guest, and that unexpected guest, what does the scripture teach? We should treat that unexpected guest like Narayan has come to your door, because who knows, maybe Narayan has come to your door, and you wouldn't want to disrespect Narayan, so a guest should be treated in that way. And what to speak of when it is the Supreme Lord. There's verses in the other Puranas that say, just by keeping Srimad Bhagavatam on one's shelf and respecting, it certainly is better if you do more than that, but just by that, auspiciousness is brought into your home and one's life can change. Who was describing this? Yes. Shruti Kirti was describing. One time Prabhupada was, not one time, many times, he was Prabhupada's servant. He would go into Prabhupada's room to do some service for him. And he would find Srila Prabhupada sitting at his desk reading his own books. And one time he described that Prabhupada was so much appreciating. He said, I have not written these books. Krishna has dictated. And I've simply written what Krishna has written, has dictated. He was speaking in a very grave mood. Then he closed the book and he opened it again to the same page and said, if one just reads one verse, one's life can be changed completely. He closed the book. He opened it again. If one just reads one line from the verse, one's life can change. Close the book. Even if one reads one word, even if one doesn't read the word, if one just touches the book, one's life can completely change. It's so auspicious. So, hopefully, you'll take advantage of Krishna appearing in your home and on a regular basis. Srinvatasvakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana.
Pradyantakstohya Bhadrani Vidhunoti Saritsatam. By regular hearing and reciting for each other's benefit and the family's benefit, just reciting, as we just did. And little distractions with the children moving around here and there, little noises and clatter, but even just hearing, it brings auspiciousness, just as we read. And even the verses, the prayers of the demigods said the same thing that Brahma said, which is, it's not by scholarship, it's by the good fortune of contacting one who is situated in pure devotion and hearing their messages with a receptive and eager mood. Then one's heart can become cleansed of all misgivings, and that knowledge can be awakened from within. So hopefully, by the merciful appearance of Krishna, in this literary form that will take place within your family. So let's have an arti. Yeah. Okay, we get a table. We have arti for Krishna in this form of Srimad Bhagavatam.